This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, we're here, Mike. It is Friday. A few days away from the AFC Championship, where the Denver Broncos will take on the New England Patriots. Can they do it? What do they need to do in order to secure a victory and move on to the Super Bowl? Benjamin Albright will join me, host of Broncos Country Tonight, later in this hour, actually. Top stories of the day, Broncos-Pats preview, all that coming up. Hope you're ready. Hold on to your butts. The whole show starts now. After the 11 o'clock hour, I am Brady Hull. And that over there on the other side of the bulletproof glass is Michael Kirkpatrick. Are you nervous, buddy? Are we getting a little nervous as we're, a few days away from the AFC Championship? And the Broncos, it was going to be a tall task anyway, but obviously the tone has changed surrounding the Broncos now that we know, hey, Jarrett Stidham is going to be the guy. That's been the one we've talked about a lot throughout the course of the week. But more importantly, what we should be talking about is this is still an elite defense that has to be elite. Whether Bo Nix is playing in this game, Jarrett Stidham is playing in this game, whatever. So much has been on Denver's defense. And they have to be an elite defense. I mean, look at the Patriots, man. It's a pretty good defense throughout the course of the year. What they've done in 2 weeks, Michael, they have not allowed 20 points yet in two playoff games. The Chargers scored 3, and the Texans scored 16. I think they got one turnover in the Chargers game, and how many against the Texans? 4 or 5? So they're going on defensively, they're going on a run kind of like what we saw with the Broncos in 2015. Then again, the Broncos' defense was very good all year, and they were doing that. The Patriots have been one of the better defenses in the league. I would say roughly top 10. Very good against, not allowing a lot of points. But they have turned it up a notch in these playoffs. So whether it's Bo, whether it's Jarrett Stidham, this is going to be an opportunistic defense. And for Stidham, it's not just on him. You have to have this offensive line who is the number one offensive line in pass protection. Number one. That's going to be seriously tested this weekend as they have a completely different guy at the helm. And it's going to be on that offensive line. It's going to be on a relatively young receiving core and a guy in Evan Ingram who hasn't really been fantastic for Denver. He was supposed to be this joker position for Sean Payton. You need several X factors in a game like this. And I'm kind of leaning in on this whole thing. And I'm sure Sean Payton would call me an idiot if I brought this up in a press conference. But I posted this last night, just pondering things, Mike, as we get set for this playoff game. I said, there's a small part of my brain that thinks Sean has had to dumb it down or quick flex the offense to make sense for Bo. I think he could be very good down the road, but he's not that guy yet. Stidham might be better suited to run Sean's full offense. Do you buy into that at all? Because I was called an idiot, and they're like, what does quick flex mean? And I to me, like, quick flex is like you're going through the play a lot faster. Bo's got a progression or two, and then it's go time. So I don't know that the entirety of a play is unwrapping under Bo Nix at quarterback. And that's what I mean by that. Is that crazy? Is that too far-fetched to think that maybe Sean Payton has reserved some of this offense to help Bo Nix learn? this game.
It's not too far-fetched.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I've said some nicer things.
Is it wild to think that Jarrett Stidham could run this offense, Sean Payton's offense, better than Bo Nix at this time? Is that wild? Is that a wild concept?
I mean, he's a good quarterback. I don't know which one of them is smarter. They've both been in the offense for quite some time.
And Jarrett longer.
One just has more experience running it. The other has more experience watching it be run.
Well, and I had a text here from GoPoke saying, so you think Sean is starting a lesser quarterback versus a player that's more able to run the entire playbook? I think at the time of the decision, it was exactly that. And Bo did nothing to lose his job, right?
So other than get hurt.
I think when the decision was being made two training camps ago, it was they're both really close. But this is my rookie. This is my 100% handpicked guy that's going to get me to my Hall of Fame, get me in the Hall of Fame, make me famous. You know, it's a big-time stamp that he'd be putting on the NFL. So if you're flipping a coin between the two, you're going to go with, and I've always felt this way, if it's 50-50, go with the younger guy, the guy that could grow and learn more. So to answer that question, yes, I think at that point of the decision, Sean Payton said, maybe they're both really good. They're both 50, they're 50-50 here. But I'm going to go with the rookie and the guy that I drafted, so we're going to go with him. And Bo was never bad enough to really make an argument against or for Jarrett Stidham ever coming in. So I hope you're tracking with me, because it's weird, I know, and it's maybe I'm reaching a bit here, but I've never got the sense, this is why I was putting so much pressure on Bo in the Buffalo game, I never got the sense that he is a sure thing. Like Michael saying, oh yeah, no, he's a sure thing, just like Josh Allen, just like, no, he's not. He's not there. So, and then I have another one, another comment here, maybe some truth to that, but I'm not expecting the offense to run smoother with Stiddy on Sunday than it has been with Bo. What would you rate the offense, Mike? What would you rate Denver's offense? Grade them. Give them a grade. Be honest. Give them a grade.
I can't do it off the cuff.
It's five letters. A, B, C, D, F. Give them a grade.
73.
Okay. So you're giving them a C.
I'm giving them a 73.
You're giving them a C minus.
14A.
You're giving them a C minus is what you're saying.
So, I'm giving them 73
out of 14A.
You
already said it. You already said it. C minus. So it's what we're taking. 100% there. Thank you, Mike.
So that's not true for
TD here, Taylor, to say, I'm not expecting the offense to run smoother with Stiddy on Sunday. So you're expecting, if you're saying it's a 73, and we take you at your word because you blurted it out, and that's what you said trying to be funny, but now we're taking it as fact. You don't think this offense can become better than a C minus? With a quarterback that might be more of a pocket passer, you think it's going to be a D, basically. You think this is going to be a D or an F type of offensive performance. I don't think the offense was that great throughout the season. They weren't, Mike.
It wasn't great, no.
If you watched Denver play.
It was off and on.
If you watched Denver, if I told you, hey, I want you to watch the second quarter and the third quarter of every football game for the Broncos without seeing a scoreboard. You're just going to watch the plays without seeing touchdowns or field goals. You're just going to watch the plays from the second quarter to the third quarter. You're going to walk out of that room, and I'm going to ask you, you're from outer space. You've never seen the record or anything, and I'm going to say, what's the Broncos record? And you're probably going to say, that's a 7-win team based on second quarter, third quarter, just watching the offense play. You're not saying that's a 14-win football team.
Can I watch the defense play as well?
No, you're just watching the offense. Am I wrong?
I mean, you're definitely disappointed, but you can't grade an offense based off of two quarters.
But can you play the game? Play the game. If you watch, what I'm saying is the majority of the time in a Broncos game, the offense has not been good. Agree or disagree? The majority of every game, if you had to average it out, Denver's offense was not fantastic.
It's been bleh to okay.
Yet they did finish in the top, whatever, close to the top 10 in yards per game. 342 yards per game. Hey, again, there's a lot of teams that were around 350, 337, 335, 338. So I still think that that's kind of an average type of offense. Their passing game, obviously, top 10. Running, they were down the road, middle of the road. That's primarily from Bo. And there's a lot. There's a lot of the positives about this offense was Bo Nix. But to be fair, it was when everything would break down, it was up to Bo to improvise. And that's still a dangerous way to live. It's a dangerous way to live. So I'm just, we haven't seen enough of Jarrett Stidham. Like, you're saying he's a good quarterback. I don't know if he is. I don't know the answer to that because we haven't seen him enough. In the preseason, he looked fine. He looked pretty good, right? He's 1-1 as a starter. In one of those games he started, he was pretty good. But we don't know. That's the thing. We really just don't know. We can sit here all day and say that Stidham is good or Stidham is bad. What we do know is that Bo Nix is not there yet. And if you're saying otherwise, you're not really watching the games. If you're telling me that Bo Nix is a tier one quarterback right now, you're wrong. He can get there. I believe he will. But he's not there yet. So I'm basing a lot of the take on Jarrett Stidham on what I know of Bo Nix. Meaning, I don't know that they can... I don't know how much worse this offense can actually get. Now, it's not like it was an atrocious offense. I'm just saying, Peyton seems to really believe in Stidham. He got him before Bo Nix. He started him over Russell Wilson. Gave him their best chance to win, right, Mike? And there was the question of, okay, is he going to be the starter in the offseason? And if Bo got drafted for some reason before Denver, if he was gone before the Broncos were up in the draft, maybe Jarrett Stidham starts last year. That's a whole different universe there. If Bo wasn't available, maybe the Broncos go a different route.
I think if Bo was not available, if the Broncos, let's say Bo was the only quarterback taken, and you had all the other quarterbacks, other than Caleb Williams, I think you probably start Stiddy. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
Because not necessarily that he's a better quarterback than Michael Penix Jr. I'm just saying I'm a big fan of sitting quarterbacks and letting them learn, Bo Nix is a special case because he's the quarterback for Sean Payton.
And Sean's ego definitely gets in the way. Hey, I handpicked this guy, and even though I handpicked Jarrett Stidham in free agency, I really handpicked this guy. I discovered this guy, even though everybody knew Bo Nix's name. But there were a lot of people that thought he reached by drafting Bo so early. So there was a lot of ego involved in this decision, and it turned out to be the right decision. Bo is a good quarterback. He could be an elite quarterback. But in the history of Bo Nix, 10 years from now, Mike, we're going to look back at that first 2 years and say, yeah, the Broncos were going to playoffs. The Broncos won a couple of playoff games, and Bo wasn't even really that guy yet. And then maybe 10 years from now, we're talking multiple Super Bowl titles. And we'll always say the first 2 years weren't like lights out. He was a great rookie. He was great. This year, do you really feel like he took a big step forward as far as improvement from rookie year to this year?
I think he took a step forward. Not sure how big it is.
Yeah, I think he took a step forward because of his QBR when they were behind. He proved that he's got a clutch gene that he didn't show as much last season. He showed it this season.
He's not turning the ball over as much.
Jarrett Stidham, in his two starts in 2023, the final two games of the season, played against the Chargers, where they won 16-9. He was 20 of 32, 224 yards. He had one touchdown, no interception. He was sacked twice. Would you take that number on Sunday? 224 yards, one touchdown, no picks, two sacks. You take that right now.
That's decent.
Do they win if he has that kind of game?
Yes.
Okay. The loss he had was against the Raiders. They lost 27-14. He was 20 of 34, 272 yards, a touchdown, a pick, sacked five times.
You don't win with that.
Probably a loss there when you factor in the amount of sacks.
If you just play a good game, because you can win other ways. You can win running the ball. Are they going to run the ball? They might.
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
Like I think don't turn the ball over. Handle your stuff. Get the ball down the field. Score once or twice. Run the ball a couple times. They can score on the ground. They've shown it.
Yeah.
You can make plays on the ground.
Yeah, we got to see it. We got to see if Sean's going to actually go with that route. It's going to be cold. It's going to be very cold. Who does that help in this case? Both teams are...
Helps the defense.
Both teams are doing this. Does that hurt a young quarterback like Drake May in the cold? He didn't look amazing last week. 21 minutes after the hour. A lot to unpack today. Who's winning the matchups? We'll look at the matchups throughout the day, too. Benjamin Albright going to join me at the bottom of the hour. He's the host of Broncos Country Tonight. How's he feel about Jarrett Stidham? About J.K. Dobbins? About this Broncos defense? We'll get into all of it. Stay with us. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado.
City Roadhouse presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokness, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
A little appetizer for the busy weekend ahead. A big one on tap tonight at 8 o'clock on FS1. The Colorado State Rams play host to Utah State tonight on the hardwood. So I'm excited. I have a feeling. Just something's telling me. Because they lost like by almost 50 last time out. 40 plus, whatever, to Utah State. Rashawn Mbemba is out in that game. He didn't play. Kyle Jorgensen goes down in the first 4 minutes of that game, and then you're just kind of shot. So I just have a weird feeling. They're 4.5-point dogs tonight. Utah State lost to Grand Canyon and UNLV. CSU beat both of those teams. I know the transitive properties or whatever thing doesn't always hold up, but I'm telling you, just watch out for this game tonight. This game's going to tell me if CSU's good or if they're just kind of who we thought they were amidst a rocky start in the Mountain West Conference. Big game tonight, Mike. I know you're going to be watching. Big one. Big game.
Yes, I will not be watching. Actually,
why?
I will be producing a high school basketball game.
That's true. We got some great basketball. Who do we got tonight?
I don't remember.
Oh, it's a... Isn't it... come on.
Last night it was Eaton and University, and Eaton made an epic comeback. Son beat father.
Oh, really? So was it quite the game?
Dude, it was quite the game. It was
we're getting some
the
good
fourth
games.
Quarter, definitely worth listening to.
Yeah.
On Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. 1310KFK.com.
Yeah. You can also find podcasts of the broadcast too, can't you, Mike?
Spotify.
Yeah.
And Apple Podcasts.
There we go. Look at that. Come on. Tonight is Windsor taking on Rocky Mountain.
Go Windsor.
Little Madden Smiley action tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, and also I hate Rocky, so go Windsor.
Oh, I don't care who wins. I'm just rooting for a good basketball game. Kyle Johnson, Bruce Dick on the call. 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 tip. Doesn't get any better than what they're doing, man. I mean, these guys are, you put them up against any high school broadcast in the state, they're killing it. They're winning that battle every time. 29 minutes after the hour, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight, going to join me. Is it possible to do this without Bo Nix? Benjamin's going to tell us why or why not coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion, and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Talking all things AFC Championship coming up this weekend. Broncos, Patriots. Going to be a cold one, too. Who better to talk to us about this upcoming game than the host of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright. Benjamin, my friend, well, it's going to be interesting for sure. Let me ask you this question to start us off. If Bo Nix is playing in this game, how are you feeling about the Broncos' chances against the Patriots? Because that's going to catapult us into the next conversation.
I think about the same as I do.
Yeah.
I think Bo brings some different things to the table, you know, in terms of mobility. But I think Jarrett Stidham, man, he'll hang in there. He'll let plays develop. Yeah, he doesn't have the mobility to take a few more sacks, but he'll also push the ball down the field a little bit more. And I it's weird to say that Jarrett Stidham is better for this game because that doesn't exactly make sense. But his skill set sort of matches up in a way that I think gives Denver a little bit of a chance. And so I think I feel about the same either way.
Benjamin, let's go back on a journey here. Let's go, a year and a half, 2 years ago, whatever. You know, when we get to training camp, when Bo Nix is a rookie, there's a debate. Do you start the rookie quarterback? Do you go with Jarrett Stidham? I just refresh my memory. Like, how tight of a competition was that at that point?
Very tight. Matter of fact, Jarrett Stidham on paper won that competition.
Right.
He played better than Bo, and there were a lot of people that didn't like me saying that at the time, but it was true. And, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't appreciably better in the sense that, oh, we got to start this guy, Jarrett Stidham, over the upside of the first-round rookie. But he did play better, and, you know, Jarrett was certainly a little disappointed that he didn't get those early games to, you know, get a chance to prove himself and all that. But, you know, time is a flat circle. Of course, you know, anything's a that saying bothers me because all circles are flat. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, I think they mean a sphere, but whatever. I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, Jarrett's getting a chance to come back around and has the shortest runway ever to a mega contract by winning the next two games.
Yeah, and I guess that's where my brain's going. I'm trying to be careful here because I don't want it to sound like I'm saying Bo Nix is a bad quarterback, but I still think there's a ways to go for Bo to be that guy. You know, maybe in some people's mind, yeah, for sure, there's no doubt he's the franchise quarterback, he's the next Elway, whatever. I still think we have a journey in front of us. So, you know, maybe in 3 years or 2 years, replacing Bo is a much taller task, but I'm just not ready to say that Jarrett Stidham, Bo Nix, the difference is, yeah, the run game that Bo provides, he's very mobile, we get that. But I'm just not ready to say that that's going to be a massive difference. And it's kind of encouraging to hear you say these things, Benjamin. It makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah, I think, you know, end of the day, I think, you know, there's some differences in the way the two approach the game. You know, Bo wants to not take negative plays. You know, he'll get the ball out super quick. But at the same time, that, you know, that's been a problem this year as we've had stuff open down the field. Bo hasn't seen it and has looked to get out of there or just get rid of the ball so he doesn't take a negative play. Jarrett Stidham is going to take a few sacks in this game. But he's also going to make some plays over the middle. He's going to make some plays down the field. The Broncos might have more explosives in this game than they've had all year.
That's very fascinating because, again, Bo had so many moments, and I think a lot of times throughout the season you say, what is the strength of this offense? And it's kind of, well, when Bo Nix improvises. Do you think that there's been some of that going on in Sean Payton's designs, play calling, where, okay, we can't throw everything at Bo. We kind of have to shorten the play. Bo's not going to sit back there and go through every single progression, whereas maybe a Jarrett Stidham, you can open things up a bit more.
I think so. I think the full playbook will be open. I don't think you're paring it down at all for Jarrett Stidham. I think the things you're taking out are maybe the QB sweeps, you know, things like that. But overall, I think, yeah, I think, you know, you look at this thing and you say, all right, well, you know, Jarrett can make all these throws. He's willing to hang in there. We can let some of this stuff that maybe takes a little bit longer to develop, that Bo's a little, you know, nervous to let develop, and we can run some of these plays. You go back and look at the typical Sean Payton offense, and, you know, Bo is they're running way more screens than they normally do. I mean, they run screens, but they run way more wide receiver screens they normally do because Bo wants the ball around the line of scrimmage and, you know, and wants to get the ball out quick. And so, you know, I think that this is going to change the way the Broncos play offense. It's also going to force Sean Payton to hand the ball off to the running backs a little more, which he probably should be doing anyway.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. On the running back topic, do you expect to see J.K. Dobbins in this game?
Well, we're going to see. He's had a pretty good week so far. We got practice here in about an hour. We'll get a chance to see. He's been ramping it up. Pat Bryant looks like he's going to clear concussion protocol after all, so that's good news. Wattenberg's going to be back. I think the questions right now are J.K. and then the hamstring on Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin and Pat Bryant being out last game forced the Broncos to remember that we have Marvin Mims on the roster, and then, oh, by the way, he led the entire league in passing for the week, so catching all eight of his targets. So, I'm not that I wish injury on anything, but if Troy needs an extra week or two to get that hammy up, I think we'll be all right with Marvin Mims.
I mean, Marvin Mims. What is it about Marvin Mims that Sean Payton does just seem to forget about? I mean, he's even admitted it. Like, this is my own fault. We're not utilizing this guy. Every time we see a pretty large sample of Mims, he delivers. Yet, we don't see it all the time.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that. That's one of those things that's befuddled me since the beginning of time. I'm like, you have your most explosive weapon. He doesn't drop the ball like the other guy, and we just hate him for what reason? So it's one of those. It's one of those things where, and I believe if you go back and check the tape, I certainly know I tweeted about it. The last time I was on your show, I said, well, Sean Payton does certain things instead of what he, air quotes, is supposed to do. Instead of running the ball on second and one, he's going to dial up a goal line fade for Frank Crum, which I tweeted about, and then he did. And then I was like, you know what I should do? Is start tweeting about using Marvin Mims more and see if Sean Payton is just ninja reading my Twitter account.
Start tweeting about him more. Start tweeting about the run game more. All those things. And I think we'll be good on Sunday.
Yeah, that's it. Secretly, I didn't realize that I had such input on the Broncos offense.
He's got to be reading it, man. You know he probably is after the fact. Benjamin Albright joining us, talking Broncos Patriots. The Patriots have been kind of in a similar category as the Broncos, 14-3, leading in a lot of, at least top 10 in a lot of most major categories, offensively, defensively, yet they weren't really taken seriously throughout the course of the season. Benjamin, how good are these Patriots?
Well, they're pretty good. They played a really soft schedule. I think that's why people, maybe don't take them as seriously, but they're a decent football team. Stephon Diggs isn't the player that he used to be, but he's still pretty good. They got Kayshawn Boutte over there, who, by the way, every time Kayshawn Boutte has touched the ball this year, it's either been a first down or a touchdown. Every reception
he's incredible
he's had this year has either been a first down or a touchdown. So something to keep your eye on there with the explosives. Pop Douglas is more of a slot possession guy. They've got good tight end play out of Hunter Henry. Love to use him in the red zone for the touchdowns. And then the real, crux of what makes it go is not necessarily Drake May. It's the 1-2 punch with the running backs that they have. Not just running the football, but getting them out into the flat and letting them get one-on-ones with corners. And Ramondre Stevenson at 237 pounds, that's a big boy for a corner to try to bring down. And so, you got to be wary of the way they like to hit the backs in the flats.
Yeah, I mean, the running back combo and seeing, a guy like Travion Henderson, and you mentioned with Stevenson, that's kind of the dream package right there. If you get two running backs like that, like you said, that full on 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it's a real thunder lightning approach, with Stevenson being more the power guy, although he catches well too. So it's it'll be fascinating to kind of see how they roll that out against the Broncos. The one thing I will say about the Patriots, they have a little bit of a fumble problem. They've had a little bit of a fumble problem over the course of the year, and that's something I wonder if we're going to be peanut punching the ball all game.
Yeah, well, and you see the Broncos maybe like sharks in the water. They got a taste for blood. Maybe we're going to see a lot of turnovers again against Drake May and these New England Patriots. On the defensive side for the Patriots, obviously pretty good throughout the season, but, man, what they've done in these playoffs, I don't think they've given up total 20 points in two games. I mean, they're going on a pretty solid run in the postseason.
Yeah, of course, they were up against the Texans and Steelers offenses, which aren't exactly what we'd call a juggernaut. Flip side of that, Landry's their best pass rusher. He's going to be out for the game. I think they're going to have Carlton Davis back. He's listed as questionable right now, but I think he's going to be back off the concussion at the corner. But they're missing Landry, their best pass rusher. That's going to be an issue for them. They don't generate very many sacks. In fact, they're one of the worst teams in the league at getting sacks. The strength of that team is their corners. Christian Gonzalez, Carlton Davis, Marcus Jones. Those three corners are very, very good, and they know they can leave them out on an island if they need to. They play a lot of cover three, cover one type stuff. And, that's going to be the thing. I think the key is if you are able to get outside runs going, because they play that 3-3-5 kind of defense, if you can get the outside run going and then, build off of that, hit the deep crossers, I think you can be successful.
Defensively for the Broncos, you mentioned a couple of those receivers with Diggs and Kayshon Boutte and how good those guys are. I mean, the highlight reel for Kayshon is amazing. Do you see Patrick Surtain primarily on Boutte in this game, or how do you see that one playing out?
That's going to be interesting because I think, as the way they typically line up, you're going to see Diggs mostly on Surtain. I suspect you could see, Surtain maybe on Hunter Henry in the red zone. They switch some of those situations up, and the Patriots like to go two tight ends with Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. You might see Surtain on the tight end there. I don't know if you put him on Boutte or not. I think you put Moss out there and see if he can hang and then go from there. And Moss, again, some of that stuff that he got flagged with early in the year was nonsense. I think he's worked through a lot of that, and I think he's playing at a pretty good level.
Benjamin Albright talking Broncos Patriots with us. He's the host of Broncos Country tonight. It's going to be a big game. A lot of crazy storylines in this one. Obviously we know the quarterback thing has been a big one. Jarrett Stidham, you said it to start the segment. This is a huge game personally for him of what it could mean for his future in football.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's got a two-game ramp up to a big money contract that was mostly an afterthought for everybody else. And, I think that there's an opportunity for this. There's an opportunity to have that Nick Foles kind of moment coming on for Carson Wentz. And, Stidham's got 3 years experience in his offense. It's an everyday thing for him. He's had a couple of games start. Now it's been a couple of years, but he's had a couple of games start in this offense. I think he's going to be fine back there. I don't think he's going to be the liability if we have one.
How do you think this one's going down? How much does the cold affect these two teams, and who does that benefit?
I don't know that it does. I mean, New England plays outdoors in the cold. I think the upside you're going to have here, New England's coming in late. There's no way that for them to be here long enough to get acclimatized in terms of the altitude. But what I will say is the biggest threat isn't the altitude. It's the dry air. And so you get a lot of teams that are dehydrated in the fourth quarter because they don't realize just how dry it is here. And so I think that's the thing that, that may give us a little bit of an edge, not just the altitude, but the dry air and hydration. They may not be prepared for it. So I obviously the climate benefits Denver because it is what it is. But I think looking at this, I don't think there's much of an edge there.
Patriots are 4.5-point favorites in this one, Benjamin. Where are you going, man?
My math says they shouldn't be. My math says they should be 1.5-point favorites. So looking at this, that number blew my mind. 80% of the bets on the money line are on the Patriots, but only 60% of the money. Sharps are on Denver in this one. And you can put myself in that camp. I have a ticket on the Denver money line. Broncos win 23-20.
I love it. There we go, man. Cannot wait. Really excited about this and excited to see what Jarrett Stidham can do. And obviously this defense has been very good throughout the course of the season. It was awesome seeing all the turnovers last week. Hopefully more of the same this week. And Benjamin, always appreciate it, my friend. Good luck. Are you going to be out? I mean, I'm guessing it's going to be cold, man. Hope you're bundled up.
Yeah, I wore a t-shirt and shorts. I'm trying to show solidarity. So if I have frostbite, just lay me to rest wherever you can find a spot.
Well, you be safe out there, man, okay? I know you're trying to make a point, but just be safe.
Will do, man. Let's get Liddy for Stiddy.
All right, man. I love it. Benjamin Albright, get Liddy for Stiddy. And he likes the Broncos to win this game. Mike, how you feel? I mean, he's been picking against the Broncos quite a bit. I think he picked against the Broncos last week. Are we worried about that?
Absolutely not.
No,
Stiddy's going to win one for the city.
Stiddy for the city
and the country for Broncos country.
Stiddy for the state because we're not in the city. So Stiddy for.
I know, but I wanted to rhyme
the statey. So he's kind of going along with me on this talk, on this whole, like, it's not a crazy drop-off that we're seeing with Bo. I mean, and that's a guy that's at practice every day. That's a guy that talks to players and coaches every single day. And he's telling you the same things I'm telling you. So take that for what it's worth. That's a positive here. I'm trying to tell you, don't worry. Maybe. I don't know. What? Why are you crinkling your eyebrows?
Why are you telling me? I'm not worried.
You're not a little bit worried.
No.
You just have the absolute confidence that the Broncos are going to win this game.
I am confident. I'm wearing my winner's hat.
I have gone back and forth. Dude, this is just like the Bills situation. I have gone back and forth in my mind. Last night, for example, I was convinced that I'm picking the Patriots. The night before, I was convinced that I was going to be picking the Broncos. This is very similar. I do agree with him saying the spread should be a lot closer. I'm back and forth in my brain, Mike. And you haven't given me any real reasons to pick the Broncos. You just say,
because I like them and they're good.
You haven't given me a real reason. Give me one real reason, concrete evidence, to support why the Broncos are going to win.
They got a great defense. They got a great offensive line. As you guys have been saying, and as I've been saying, Stidham's a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's been in this system a while. We're fine.
Listening to Benjamin talk, man, I mean, the way he talks to me is like, they might be able to run more. They might be able to do more offensively with Stidham. Is that what you kind of picked up from Benjamin's conversation there? Or from the interview?
I did, absolutely.
Fascinating. Fascinating stuff, man. 49 minutes after the hour. Broncos, Patriots, who you got, Hooligans? Shoot me a text on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I need some help on this one. So, Hooligans, maybe sway me one way or the other. Patriots or Broncos? Let me know, and we'll discuss. It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
Nuggets, games, and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, a lot of text coming in. Aaron says, this game is why getting home field advantage was so important. Stiddy gonna make the city gritty. I like it.
Get gritty.
I like it. Go Poke says, if your family's next meal depended on you picking this game correctly, what would you do? Picture on Friday, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. Come on, buddy. Texter says, come on, buddy. Bo is holding this offense back. That's what we're going to believe? I don't know. You just heard key Broncos insider Benjamin Albright tell you the same thing I've been telling you. For now, yeah, I don't think he's arrived. I think he's going to get better, but not right now. Do we got a caller on the First Advantage Hotline? Lonster. Lonster, who you got, my friend? Broncos or Patriots?
Well, first of all, Brady, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's a little chilly, but
nice
seeing snow on the ground, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it does kind of feel pretty good out there, but man, it is a cold one for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be cold this weekend, so bundle up, my friend.
You know what? Good time to be inside to enjoy the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Where are you going on this one?
You know what? I'm going to go with Denver on this one. And okay. I'll tell you what, Sean needs to start doing a better playing on his offense calling there.
Yeah, on the offensive side of the ball. Well, hopefully they can run the ball. That's a big one.
I do, too, really, because I have not been impressed with his play calling.
It's been, Helen, there's part of my brain, Lonster, that wonders just how much maybe we were holding back a bit because, you know, you're trying to slow play this progression with Bo Nix.
That's it. Well, maybe he can just let one loose here for a little bit.
Maybe. We might see it. Lonster, appreciate the call, my friend.
Hey, you guys. Hey, have a good weekend, and keep warm there.
Keep warm. I thought he was going to throw out a Go Broncos there, man. I thought you were going to throw it out.
Well, okay. Go Broncos. Yeah. Go Broncos.
That's exactly right. Lonster, thanks, man. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I mean, you got Lonster picking on you, Mike. You got Lonster coming at you, man.
He's paying homage.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Who you guys got? Text me. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm seeing a lot of Broncos. Broncos, Broncos, Broncos. Give me something fun like Aaron came up with. Stiddy gonna make the city gritty. I like that. That's good. Let's have some fun with that. 11:56 the time. Coming up in the next hour, we'll get to top stories of the day. Some very interesting things going on. I don't know if you caught the Buffalo Bills owner GM press conference the other day. That was wild. Also, a surprise candidate interviewing for a head coaching job in the NFL. A couple of surprise candidates. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. But guys, I got to tell you, Big City Roadhouse, Super Bowl Sunday, that's what I've been talking about. But why wait? Get in this weekend. That is the place to go watch the AFC and NFC championship games. They have TVs everywhere. They just added a bunch of massive TVs. There was that one section on the east side of the building that didn't have TVs in it. They have TVs in there now. There is not a bad spot to watch any game you want at Big City Roadhouse. 11:57 the time. We'll take a short break. We'll get to top stories of the day coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.